The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, Parky, we're just halfway through the first part of the season.
Okay.
Fair to say, isn't it? At the halfway stage, just over, before we hit that little mini league to sort out who's going to be in the playoffs, who's going to be in the middle eight, who's going to be in the £1 million game. Oh, that's all still to be settled at the end of it.
And who's going to get promoted to league from League One?
Exactly.
At Toronto coming in?
Plenty of questions to be asked.
At Toulouse coming in?
Remaining to be answered.
I think there's loads still left unanswered in this season so far.
There's a song within the world of the UK by Aloe Black called I Need a Dollar. Now, okay. if you rephrase that to our money, as in I need a pound, I wonder how many pounds Dr. Marwan Kukash is going to need to try and improve Salford's attendances.
Oh, I mean, that's got to go down as my ugly. That is, we usually do
the
good, bad, and ugly of rugby league, don't we, Adrian? Yeah. And my ugly is not Marwan Kukash. I think he's all right. He's a good bloke, but it's those crowds at Salford. I think, unfortunately, they just don't seem to be appearing and backing his vision. There was 1,972 at the last home game against Huddersfield Giants, and that to me is just, well, it's not enough to maintain a sporting organisation, isn't it? If we're looking at the bad, it's got to be that shock death of Danny Jones, and I'd like to wish his family and everyone that knew him our utmost and pay our respects via this show, because, you know, he was one heck of a player for Keighley Cougars. Really nice man as well. I had the pleasure of interviewing him about this time last year, and I was talking to him then about him kicking 500 goals for Keighley, and I think it was something like 1,000 points in his career that he'd gone past at the time. And he was so humble, he didn't realise, you know, and that just sums the guy up. So for me, for him to pass away in the way that he did, it was a real bad moment of rugby league. But to go with my good, though, it's the way that rugby league has responded.
It has. Fantastic.
I mean, I'm just looking now, and at the time when we're recording this, his fundraising, which, just in case you're wondering, is www.justgiving.com/DannyJones29. That's www.justgiving.com/DannyJones29. That's raised £125,652. That is just an amazing response from so many people within the game of rugby league who may or may not even have known them. And, yeah, and you know, I just think that, you know, when the chips are down, rugby league people, they really do back it, don't they? They really do back the people, and that's what it's about. That to me makes me so proud to be involved in this sport, to get the chance not only to come into a studio and start talking rugby league with you, Adrian, not only to entertain the masses at both Warrington Hospital and on loverugbyleague.com, but it's being involved in a sport that will go out there and within the space of a couple of weeks raise £125,000. That is my good, bad and ugly of rugby league this time round. We'll have another one of those in a couple of weeks.
I'm sure the Danny Jones fund as well will, I think they're hoping to get, is it £1 million? Is that what they're hoping for?
They were talking about that, yeah, because I think what they're looking at doing, and the game itself, it has to evolve now, doesn't it? I believe that rugby league players in Super League, they get their hearts monitored on a fairly regular basis, but the rest of the sport, it's not mandatory. Maybe they should make it mandatory, because then, if you know that you've got a condition, it's up to you either how you manage it and what you do, isn't it? You know, so I personally think that it is a great idea. Also, just a quick word on the way that Keighley Cougars have gone about their business as well. I think that club really does deserve all the plaudits of rugby league. Over the last couple of weeks, what it has had to cope with, all those players, I just think they've been superb. And for them to get an attendance over 4,000 for their last game, that's befitting of Danny Jones and his family.
I wonder how that's affected the London Scholars players.
Yeah, because obviously in the other side of that fixture is London Scholars, isn't it?
You know, that's what I was looking for.
And that, you know, that's another bad, really, you know, because it's how those players cope. I mean, there were 17 guys that looked on, you know, and sort of saw an incident happening before them, you know, and it's just, you know, nobody expects or, you know, ever thinks that they're going to see someone passing away on a rugby league field. It just doesn't happen, does it?
No, not at all. And hopefully it is going to be very rare. And hopefully we won't have to go through it ever again. But Danny Jones, the memory of him, it will never drift away from anybody within the World Rugby League. And hopefully we'll raise as much cash as we can for that reason.
Well, this is what I like about Rugby League as well, because straight away, John Keir, coach of Wales, obviously Danny Jones played for Wales for a good chunk of his career, he's confirmed that Wales will actually play against the Keighley Cougars. So that, and the money raised from that, he's going to go towards his fund. Now, he's confirmed that they're going to play this match, and it'll take place at Cougar Park on Sunday, October the 25th, with the money raised being donated to the fund set up towards the family of Jones. The Welsh players have volunteered to play without pay, as they look to add to the more than 125 grand that's already been raised for the fund. So, Keir has told the Press Association, there's been a tremendous response. The players have all put their hands up and agreed to play for nothing. Danny was a very popular man in the Welsh camp. The match fits in with our schedule, but regardless of that, we would have wanted to play it because we just want to do the best that we can for him and his family. Well said, John Keir.
Well said, John Keir, and hopefully that'll be the general vibe and feeling regarding Danny Jones within the World Rugby League, because I'm sure everyone's got something nice to say, and we want to put as much cash in the bucket. So I noticed that the last round of Super League games, everybody had a minute's silence, and plenty of people were running around the grounds and doing bucket collections.
Yeah, don't just rule it out in Super League, though. It was all across the rugby league, mate.
I know
there was all kinds being done this weekend, and it's full credit to everybody. At Barrow raised $2,000 for his fund, so, you know, they're to be congratulated on that attendance that they had against Oldham and the fact that they went on. But I think it's time we moved away from that, you know, and, you know, obviously our respects are with Danny and his family, but we're here to talk rugby league, aren't we?
Well, I could if I can get my laptop working, but I can't.
OK. So, do you want me just to carry on?
Yeah.
What do you want us to do? Look at the last couple of rounds of Super League?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, why not? Well, let's take this back. And for me, the last couple of rounds of Super League, well, it's all been about the slump at Leeds Rhinos, hasn't it?
Well, we're going to hear from Brian McDermott very shortly. He says it's not a slump as such.
He would say
disappointing. That. All's not well. You hear that interview very, very shortly. Yeah, but the Rhinos, three straight defeats.
You know, all the pressure goes. It just seems
everyone seems to be doing it. Warrington did it a couple of weeks ago. St Helens went through the same kind of a run, just when you think they're going to kick on and get a real grip of the league table as it stands. But everyone just seems to be hell-bent on wanting to sit within a pack rather than stand out alone on their own.
So let's look at the last two rounds of Super League. Well, it kicked off on the 30th of April. Huddersfield taking on Leeds. The start of the slump in my eyes, this, because Leeds well in charge and ended up being pegged back at 24-all by Huddersfield. Then we saw that non-event on the Friday night when Wigan put 60 points past Hull Kingston Rovers. They didn't show up at all, did they? I bet me and you could have played on the wing in that centre for Hull Kingston Rovers that night and got closer to the Wigan players, certainly over the first 20 minutes anyway. But, you know, you've got to credit Wigan for putting the points on the board, and it's nice to see Joe Burgess back in the tries, isn't it? He grabbed a hat-trick in that particular game. St Helens continued...
Well, he's proved me wrong, by the way, because I said at the start of this season, is he having second season syndrome? Because he started off terrible, didn't he? But he suddenly got back into the gist of the season, got to grips with it, and he's scoring tries for fun.
You wondered whether he was the one season wonder, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I thought maybe he was jumping ship and going to Australia too soon, but he's proving me wrong anyway.
There were other wins in that round for Castleford Tigers, who defeated Catalans Dragons. Warrington Wolves were the last ditch defeat of Widnes Vikings.
Ah, but deja vu in the last round, so that made Widnes fans smile anyway.
Hull FC, they managed to get off the floor to defeat Salford Red Devils, who were wanting to postpone the game. Have you heard anything as ridiculous as what they tried to do? I can't believe that Salford tried to pull that one on Hull.
Exactly. I think if it had been granted as well, that would have opened up a massive can of worms. Everybody would have been doing it.
And Saints had a big win against Wakefield in that particular week. And the weekend just gone in Super League, well, it all started off with Hull Kingston Rovers being the latest side to run a hat full of points on Wakefield Wildcats. Huddersfield defeated Salford over at Salford. And I thought that was a bit of a meek and mild and... not a very interesting game, in fairness. Probably the worst one of the season. I'm going to put that one down as the worst game of the season so far. Salford 0, Huddersfield 19. Not much to talk about there. Wigan Warriors picked up their third nilling of the campaign. That came at home against Castleford. For me, the game of the year took place over at Catalans, though. I don't know what you thought about this one, Adrian, with Catalans beating St Helens 33-26.
Cracking game, wasn't it?
There was four tries scored for Adam Swift at St Helens. He had a great game individually, but yet finished on the losing side. And it was Benjamin Garcia grabbed a couple of tries. Zeb Taylor is playing out of his skin at the moment, has really, really grown as a player for the Catalans Dragons over the last few weeks, and I think he's going well. We'll hear a bit more from Widnes's good win against Leeds Rhinos. And as you mentioned there, Hull FC landing that one-point victory against Warrington Wolves.
Strange team, Hull FC, aren't they? They seem to be, like you said, we said it a few weeks ago, didn't we, in another show that we do. Just when you think Lee Radford's under pressure and the exit door's looming, he seems to pull out a victory out of the bag.
He does. And I think that's credit to his players, because they must like working with him.
Yeah.
And yet, it just seems that they're wildly inconsistent, aren't they? They can be brilliant, and the fact that they were able to beat Warrington suggests that, you know, they played well on the day, doesn't it?
I know I was posing the question about halfway through the first part of the season and who's going to be where in terms of playoffs and middle eight. I'd still believe both Hull clubs will be in that middle eight.
You still think that?
Yeah.
You still think that? I mean, you know, currently if we look at the Super League table...
Oh, it's too tight to call.
It is too tight to call. You've got Hull in eighth, Hull Kingston Rovers in ninth, you know, and obviously we're looking at ninth to 12th as the teams that will play in the middle eight. Currently the other teams occupying those spaces are Widnes, Salford Red Devils and Wakefield Wildcats. Look doomed, don't they?
Yeah, I think they've given up the ghost. We played an interview with James Webster and he kind of like drawn a line on this first part of the season for him. It's all about getting his better players back for that little middle section where we have the middle eight.
I mean, to be fair, they have been dogged by injury. They've lost a lot of players and it is just one of those where it's not really worked out for them. It's interesting that we spoke a couple of weeks ago though, Adrian, didn't we? And we said that nobody was getting any sort of consistency bar Leeds. And we seem to have dogged Leeds since then, don't we? Because they've gone on a bit of a losing run. And, you know, everybody seems to have caught them up, particularly Wigan, who are sitting in second place now with 9 wins from the 14 matches. St Helens in third. And then there's a bit of a gap there because you've then got Huddersfield, Warrington, Castleford and Catalans, who are much of a muchness. I do just think that it's a very interesting Super League table as we've reached just beyond that halfway point. And whilst you might be actually thinking both Hull clubs are in there, I'm still tipping Widnes to be down there, you know. I just got a feeling that Widnes are losing too many games away from home of the Widnes Vikings, and I just feel that, can they pull the way out of that danger? How many home games have they got remaining in this season?
I think they've got 3.
So three. So there you go. That's,
don't quote me on that.
That's 3 more wins then for Widnes, and how many losses?
Yeah, but don't forget, away from home, next up in the league, they've got Wakefield, they've got Salford in the Magic Weekend, so they'll be fancying the chances to nick a couple of wins there at least.
Okay. So you're still tipping Widnes to get away from this position they find themselves in?
I don't think it's a bad thing if Widnes stay in that bottom four, but I'm sure that if you base the win against against Leeds, and the fact they pushed Warrington and St Helens all the way as well, I think Widnes probably might be just about too good. They might be just too good to be in that middle four, but hey, what do I know?
I'll tell you what the good thing is about Widnes at the moment, though, Adrian.
Middle four, bottom four.
I think the good thing about Widnes is that they don't seem to be running away with the scorers. They seem to be, it's well spread amongst the team. That's what I'm getting at. They're a well-placed team ethic sort of club, aren't they?
They're an attacking team. You've got Joe Mellor and Kevin Brown on the side. They can open up the best defences, can't they? That's going to give you players around you plenty of opportunities to score tries. I mean, you've got the threat of the likes of Paddy Flynn, Patrick Arvan, who can be quite outstanding on his day. You've got
I can't believe you've gone and mentioned Patrick Arvan and good attacking players.
You've got Rhys Hamrey, but he knows where the try line. You've got Rhys Hamrey as well, who's a dangerous player. And they've got that big pack as well. Any team that's going to play Widnes down the middle, wow, you're in for the battle.
Yeah, well, I just think it's about time, you know, after 3 years of Super League, that they're starting to entertain a few people now, because they've bored their way in Super League for the rest of the time, haven't they? And I just feel that, you know, they are playing some good attacking rugby. I'm not going to completely diss what you've said, Adrian, but I just feel that they can do a little bit better.
Should we get some reaction? Let's hear from Brian McDermott. He spoke after the, I wouldn't say shocked defeat, but surprising defeat at the hands of Widnes Vikings in round
14. Round 14 of Super League. I was counting fingers and toes. I think I've managed it now.
Right, let's hear from him.
Had a chance, yeah. Had a chance, had to fight back. I didn't think we were great throughout the game. And probably would have been, had we won that, I was getting my mind ready for still letting the players know all's not well. Had we won that game, but the result went the right way in the end. Albeit through a bit of dramatic circumstances with the pass at the end, but that's not why we lost. I don't think we was error-riddled, defensively, leaky. Usually when I know we went through some periods of defending our trial level, but at the same time I thought we conceded some tries that we were expected to defend. I won't call them soft tries, they were well executed by Widnes, who capitalised on their field position, but we should have defended those. We'd like to have defended those, and you know, a couple of tries there was no real lead up to it. You know, we wasn't chasing all over the place. It wasn't after a really quick ruck, so you know, we'd be disappointed that we conceded one or two of those tries. I don't think we've been horrible in each one of those performances without a win, so don't call it a slump.
Brian McDermott, obviously not happy to have lost the game, but certainly Parky, he feels confident his team can ride the wave and get out the slump they're in.
Well, he said it's not a slump. So he doesn't see it as a slump. Maybe it's just us that sees it as a slump.
Cynical people are followers of rugby league and just pick out the negatives out of everything.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, for much of the season, Leeds have been good. But didn't they do this last year?
They did.
The opening 15 rounds of Super League, yeah. Where were they? They were on top. Where did they finish? Further down. So, you know, are we seeing history repeating itself? Or have Leeds got a bit more in the tank
this year? I think they're just doing enough early doors in the season to be in that top four come the split.
I suppose the only good thing is that, you know, with them not really charging away with it anymore, it does make it a bit interesting for everybody else, doesn't it? Because at one point, as we were saying 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was looking a bit, everybody's much of a muchness, everybody's beating each other, nobody's getting any consistency.
You notice that when they get beat, the same old question comes up for Brian McDermott.
Where's
Kevin
Sinfield?
Sinfield, yeah.
Well, you know,
it happened on Sunday after the Widnes game.
He's already pinned his colours to the mast of leaving
the
club,
hasn't he? Why do people still go on about it?
So I can understand the coach's stance. If he knows that he's not got a player there, albeit a great player like Kevin Sinfield is and has been for the Leeds Rhinos, he's got to get this Liam Sutcliffe. He needs to know that Liam Sutcliffe is good enough to step into his boots. So, you know, it's a bit of a harsh learning curve as far as Sutcliffe is concerned, but I believe that he's a kid that can handle it. I think he's equipped himself pretty well over the course of the season thus far. And, you know, in the eyes of his coach, he's still keeping out Mr. Sinfield, isn't he?
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right, Park, we've heard from Brian McDermott talking about after that game against Widnes Vikings. Let's hear from a very happy Joe Mellor. Joe Mellor. Big game for that, for Widnes to get the win against Leeds.
Yeah, massive game. We know what Leeds are about. We've worked really hard this week to try and stop them offloads and staying as a line and stuff like that. But I think we've been playing well the past few weeks and just not got the results. And I think today we've clicked and we really deserve it.
So you're putting that last minute heartache against Warrington behind you with that win today?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's, like I say, we've been playing well, so we just want to keep the positives. And that's what we've done, and I think that's going to kick our season now with a big win against the league leaders.
It's a great start. We always knew Leeds were going to come back, but the boys show real character to really dig in there.
That's what it was. We started well. They come back. We know what they have to offer. Yeah. But we just said, dig deep, stay positive, stick with each other, and we'll get what we deserve.
As you noticed in front of half time, what was the mood like? What was the feeling amongst the boys?
Well, we went in at half time and we know we could have done more. And I think that was good because everybody thought that. And that's what we just went out there, second half, played simple, and we got what we deserve.
You got one of the tries, took a hell of a hit, but you kept the run moving and really turned that inside out.
Yeah, well, no, I played to the whistle. I got a bit of a hit on the head, but I wasn't bothered. I just went straight through and I thought, I may as well go and score it.
You and Kevin Brown certainly seem to be enjoying your rugby league at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. We work well in training every week, and we work really hard this week, like playing together and working off each other, and obviously you can see that out there.
Now, we saw Leeds come back 28-24. Bit of a nervy moment, but you held your nerve to get over the winning line.
Yeah, it was a nervy moment. We made a few mistakes, and offered them their good ball against us, but like I say, we stuck together, we were positive, and we really got what we deserved.
How did you feel your time on the pitch went?
No, I was really happy about my performance today. I think I've just been trying to build it each week, and no, I was really happy today.
Witten showing the home form's great, just need to get that away win.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, we just got to stay positive like we have been doing. I think last week was really hard to take for us, but as you can see, we put it behind us now, and we're just looking forward.
The league takes a bit of a rest, Challenge Cup, and a favourable home tie against Batley, puts you in the quarter final.
Well, yeah, you can say that, but we've got to just concentrate on our game and play like we did today, and hopefully we'll do that.
I mentioned the Challenge Cup in that interview with Joe Miller, but one or two people not happy with the new format.
Yeah, it just seems so easy for them top Super League clubs to get
top
through to the
one
final,
game in the
it?
Quarter final.
It's just ridiculous when everybody else has been bashing the heck out of each other for the last 3 months, doesn't it? But it's been good in one way, hasn't it? Because you know, we've been there all the way with the likes of Lee Miners and with the likes of West Bank Burs, and they've certainly garnered something and learned something along the way from the process of the Challenge Cup. And you know, for me, it's got to involve these amateur clubs. I can understand why they've done it so it's not an open draw, but I think once you get to the all professional teams, it should all be included, and it should just be a free for all.
The final Hooter team, by the way, is Featherston Rovers. We're hoping we're going to be in the south of France. Fingers crossed.
Are you
with the boys with the flat cappers?
Is that what you're doing?
Fingers crossed, we're going to be there.
Have you
the road to Wembley?
Have your tickets come through?
I'm still waiting on them.
Still. Oh, it's a bit late, isn't it?
I've got the bucket. Been doing a fundraiser to pay for it, and waiting for my tickets to come up.
You've been doing a fun. What fundraiser have you been doing?
I shaved my beard off, my hair, my hairy legs. They've gone as well.
Yeah. I never noticed because you've always got them under the desk.
So fingers crossed, we're going to be there with the flat cappers.
Well, you do surprise me, Adrian.
Yeah.
So you get well travelled in rugby league.
Oh, without a doubt. It's the perks of the job. But every job's going to have a perk.
But I'm surprised, you know, that because of you've got really good, you know, connections. I'm very, very surprised that they've not managed to smuggle you in on Rennie Matui's case or something. You know, I see he's going over to.
But his case is big enough to get me inside.
Well, this
no
is
problem.
What I thought. This is what I thought. You know, have you not had a chat with him?
Not yet, no.
What about Aardman? You're a big mate of Ian Aardman, so you know him from his Witness days.
I know him from his Witness days. I know Woody from his Warrington days. Maybe because smuggling on his bag. But no, I'm waiting for my tickets. Not here yet, but I'm waiting for my tickets.
You're waiting for your tickets?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But the thing is, what was worrying me is the game's been put back to a later kickoff because of the dark side. They've got a big semi-final in the city at the same time, so it doesn't clash. Catalans have put it back. And the last flight out of there for any Featherston fans going is like 9:30.
So does that mean they'd have to like leave at half time or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's one heck of a trek, isn't it?
That's going to be a bit of a road race to get back to the airport.
Does this not remind you of 1982 all over again and going to Lee and then being told halfway through that you're going to have to get back to Widnes because of the shutting the roads because of the blizzards?
All right, I don't remember that.
Do you not?
I thought
you was old enough.
Talked about 1982. It's a vintage year of rugby league, and we always like talking about it. And this one is the 1974-75 Northern Rugby League season.
So not the song by the Connells, 74-75.
No.
So I thought that we might have had some sort of cheesy link in there. You know, I really like my cheesy links. But what a vintage year for rugby league.
Well, it's where the rule changed, by the way. Drop goals became worth 1 point in that season.
I reckon that was all...
Where they'd been previously too.
I reckon that was all down to Alex Murphy, that.
Do you think he was?
He loved a drop goal, didn't he, Alex?
Yeah, Chiefy Airwell, he liked the drop goal in that
year
as well.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, that's why they brought that rule change in, so that instead of Murph being able to celebrate 2 points, he'd only get 1 point for any of them.
Two divisions in the league that season. They had the 16 division first team, and we had 14 teams in the second division. Promoted teams coming up from the second division were Huddersfield, Hokingston Rovers, Oldham and Swinton, bottom of the pile, Doncaster. No surprises there, because that's where they are this year.
Well, it is. It's unfortunate for them, isn't it? But was that the year that they brought out that the documentary about them?
I'm not too sure.
Because they went on such a long, long losing run. The top point scorer, by the way, was the great Neil Fox.
Wow.
333 points for the season. And the top try scorer was Gerald Dunn with 42.
Champions of the first division was St Helens. And we had the bottom four clubs relegated. York, Bramley, Rochdale, Halifax, Bradford Northern. They finished in 7th, not the Bulls. So the Northern boys were in 7th place. Keith, they were in the old First Division that year as well, alongside Dewsbury.
I see. They wouldn't
Feverson
mind.
Rovers were there, were 4th. So big guns back in the day, hoping to return to glory days via promotion and relegation once again.
And what about if you're looking at that second division? In 5th position, Workington Town. 6th was Whitehaven. 7th, Highton.
Wow, Highton is a name from past. New Huntslet. When did he drop the new to become Huntslet?
That's a good point. Lee down, languishing in 10th position.
One club that's not here anymore that was in the old second division were Blackpool Borough.
Blackpool, but they were a side that always seemed to struggle. But yet, were very capable on their own pitch of coming up with an upset or two, weren't they?
Surprised to see Hull in that second division that year as well.
Yeah, and they didn't do very well either. They finished 8th, didn't they? So, you know, it's just funny when you look at these things. The players' number 6 trophy winners were Bradford North, and they beat Widnes 3-2 in the final. You didn't mention that one.
No, we're going to mention that one now. The Challenge Cup winners, by the way, were Widnes. They defeated Warrington 10-5 at
Wembley. You mentioned the win. You didn't talk about the defeat.
No, I didn't mention that one at all. Yeah, the player number 6 trophy, that's your Regal trophy for our old younger fans who are wondering what on earth we're talking about. 3-2 in the final.
The BBC Two Floodlit Trophy, that was taking part in this year, and the winners were Salford. They beat Warrington 10-5 in a replay after a 0-0 draw. You don't get many 0-0 draws in rugby league, do you? Not these days, anyway.
Not at all. And Leeds actually got their hands on the trophy that year. They defeated St Helens in the Premiership Trophy 26-11.
Hang on. Here's another one for Widnes. They beat Salford 6-2 to win the Lancashire Cup.
They did, yeah. Anyone who won the Yorkshire Cup that
year? Old Kingston Rovers, they beat Wakefield Trinity 16-13. That's only like a more interesting game of the two, to be honest.
So they did. For another Challenge Cup, by the way, the Lance Todd Trophy winner is Ray Dutton. Trying to work out who got the Man of Steel. It didn't say on my page.
It doesn't actually say on mine either.
Yeah, we had the European Championship that year as well.
The European Championship was a three-team comp, wasn't it?
England, Wales, France, yeah.
And England won it, winning both of their games. They beat France 11-9 in Swansea. And they beat Wales 12-8 at Salford. In fact, Salford was a bit busy as well, because it also hosted Wales against France too.
It's a vintage year, 1974-75. We'll have to try and find out who won the Man of Steel before we get out of here. We should have had all this sorted out, shouldn't we?
Well, we got close. What more do you want? We've given all the trophy winners. Maybe they didn't even have the Man of Steel back then.
You might be right.
Was it only introduced in the 80s?
I think it was the late 70s, wasn't it? Because who was the first winner? It was Watkins, wasn't it?
So, hang on.
David Watkins. So I'm sure he was the first winner in 1977. So, we're going about the Man of Steel. Wasn't even around in 74, 75.
What do we know about rugby league?
Absolutely nothing. Alex Murphy knows more than us.
He's forgotten more than we know.
Exactly. I heard an interview with him recently, by the way. He's still loving his rugby league, is Sir Alex.
I'm not surprised. He gets it everywhere free.
All in free sandwiches.
Belting.
He's been involved in the game 60 years. Wow.
Blimey. Does that mean he gets a... Does he get a coach pass to get on anybody else's coach?
A pensioner's pass?
Yeah, I was just sort of thinking.
I mean, if he gets a pensioner's pass into the grounds these days.
Well, you never know, do you?
His celebrity status to still get him in the games.
He's always welcome at Lee, by the way.
Loves his rugby leaders, Alex. And he's been on the show a few times over the years, hasn't he?
He has. He was a regular at one point. I thought you was going to get him in to replace me. I had to fight for my position.
Both of our ham sandwiches. That's why he don't come anymore.
That's what it was. Well, we've changed the cheese now, Alex, if you want to come down. You're always welcome.
What cheese? Lancashire?
Oh, it's got to be Lancashire.
Do you do Yorkshire cheese? Oh, you won't have Yorkshire cheese. He's Lancashire all the way through. Lancashire? I'm not,
what are you talking about? I won't have any Yorkshire cheese.
Anyway, moving away from 74-75, let's come back to 2015, shall we?
Do we have to? I was really enjoying that section of the show.
Let's talk about the Championship One, shall we? In the last round, there was wins for Newcastle over the Hemel Stags. Keighley defeated Coventry Bears 52-10, despite that emotional afternoon. Oxford were too strong for the Scholars, 38-24. And South Wales Scorpions, where they lost the big Welsh derby to the North Wales Crusaders, 50-18.
Do we know how many Warrington players played for North Wales on that day?
Gareth O'Brien was in there.
Gaz O'Brien, yeah. So I just, like to mention these things on occasion.
Our mate John O'Smith got a try. He's from Warrington. He's a Warrington lad, but he plays for North Wales.
John O'Smith does it for me. I tell you what.
He's a slim line, John O'Smith, these days, by the way.
Do you reckon this is because they've been sharing some training facilities with Warrington at
possibly
times?
Possibly. Yeah. Been on the Pasta, hasn't he?
Pasta rather than pasty.
Yeah,
I like that. But no, I mean, you mentioned there, certainly Newcastle, they're setting it the world alight at the moment down there, aren't they? They've had a really good start to the season in Championship One, or League One as it's known at the moment, and they've just signed as well Seb Martin, haven't they, who was the prop forward, played at North Wales, had a stint with Lee a few years ago, big French international, also had a stint in Super League with the Catalans Dragon.
Interesting who's going to come up from there, isn't it, because obviously it looks like it's a free horse race in Newcastle, Keighley, North Wales.
Well, do you not actually see it as it's like a north east south divide at the moment, yeah, isn't it? Because you've got Keighley up top, won all five, Oldham, Newcastle, Rochdale, Barrow, York, North Wales, Swinton languishing down in eight.
Okay, I'll say it's a five horse race, I only said three.
And then you've got all of the southern based clubs, haven't you? You've got Oxford in ninth, Gloucestershire Old Golds in 10th, Coventry Burghs on their debut season. They've won two of their opening six games, so I guess they'll be a little bit ahead of where they thought they would be. Hemel in 12th, London Scholars 13th, and South Wales Scorpions again, sadly, holding everybody up at the moment.
Yeah, finding they're going tough, aren't they, South Wales? But interesting to see who will come up. Obviously, Keith, they're going to be the favourites, but I'm sure four other clubs will have a say on matters.
I think that it's turned into an intriguing competition with, what, five, six matches gone, looking around that league, and you know, there's certainly some heavy hitters for point scorers in this early stage. Oldham's been pretty good with running in the points. Newcastle, like I mentioned, Keighley have been good for scoring points, and Rochdale too have also scored 180.
Have you found out when the Man of Steel was yet?
77.
Wow, okay.
I think you was testing me there. I've just made that up, by the way.
Right, let's talk about the Championship. In the last round of the Championship, Dewsbury far too strong for Huntsville, 40 points to 4 wins on that occasion. Lee won a humdinger against Halifax despite being pushed all the way, 4 players sent off, so it'd be interesting to see how many Lee players will play against Wakefield in the Cup following their appearance in front of the panel.
Well, to be honest, all of them, because they all get judged next week.
Oh, okay, that's so there for them,
so they'll be
it?
All right. It's just the way that disciplinaries work in the Championship, mate. You don't worry yourself, you've been in Super League too long.
Plenty of points scored down in London, but unfortunately London Broncos conceded 40 at the hands of Feversham Rovers. Bradford Bulls defeated Whitehaven 32-16, and Batley won Workington 23-10. Not a good weekend for Cumbria in the Championship.
You've missed out the biggest game of the weekend.
What was
though?
That though?
That was the South Yorkshire derby between Sheffield and Doncaster.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, that was the night before, wasn't it?
Doncaster were leading 12 points to 6 for a long, long period in that game, and then unfortunately, as far as they're concerned, Sheffield proved to have a little bit too much for them. And I also think as well that, you know, from the previous week, again, interesting results. There were wins for Whitehaven, who really seemed to have put it together over the last couple of weeks. Bradford ran in a hatful of points against Sheffield. Lee just eked out from Dewsbury with a very close result indeed. Featherstone had far too much in the tank for Workington, beating them 72 points to
9.
That's a really good win for Featherstone, shows that they're starting to reach their full potential again, particularly seeing as they also went down to London, like you mentioned, and won the Halifax. They won by 40 points to 6 at Doncaster, and London, they had too much for Huntsville. It was a brave effort from them.
I'm looking forward to the summer bash. These performances in the Championship, they are really lining up lovely for that weekend in Blackpool.
Not long to go now.
Not at all.
In fact, you can bet your bottom dollar that the next time we do a podcast, we'll have some reaction, won't we?
We will anyway. We've got some proper reaction from Paul Rowley as he talks about discipline with you.
He does.
Other than the Bradford game and the last two games, Dewsbury and Halifax, we average, I think, 6.5 penalties a game. So not only have we not got a discipline problem, we've got an excellent disciplinary record. So what I would say is, the same two fixtures, Dewsbury and Halifax, brought problems last year. So, you know, we're the champions, and teams want to find a way to unsettle us. You know, Marshall's comments were very wet, I thought. Lacked any conviction in what he was saying. In fact, I thought he was looking for people listening at one point, because his eyes were anywhere up to the camera. He commented on the longevity of the brawl. If you look at the brawl, it was started by Ed Buck from Callaghan. Uh-huh. It was continued by Braycheck. Uh-huh. And we've sent three different videos of that brawl into match officials, because we're confident that that we'll come out better for it. So now there's the scene was set when an opposition team comes, is given the luxury of wonderful facilities to change in and half the pitch to warm up in, when an opposition team feels it appropriate to walk through our warm up on our side of the pitch, then they're setting a scene and they're asking, you know, they're inviting trouble, if you like, and antagonising our team on our own ground. We're the champions. You don't walk across other people's warm up. It's disrespectful. And I think anyone who mentioned had a spinning record, if it's from the outside, then, you know, it's kind of everyone ganging up. Let's remember, we're the only Lancashire club.
That's true.
So I would remind everybody on this side of the Pennines and this side of the border to stand tall, stand proud for Lee and Lancashire, and remember that people are trying to find a weakness and they want to unsettle us. Richard Marshall, he champions a wonderful style, and I said this in my post-match, but yet they slowed the game down at every opportunity. So we contradicted what they said, and you know, that team's got a lot more losses than Bellhausen did last year, so they've got better than Carlson. But you know, keep talking and keep losing, and we'll keep performing and keep winning. So there's no problem with this win at our club.
No problem with the spirit within the club is the bit we missed out on the end of that little snippet.
I tell you what, you've got to respect Paul Rowley, haven't you? You've got to respect the job that he's doing.
He's proud of his Lancashire roots by the sounds of it.
Very, very proud. Very,
like
very
Alex
proud
Murphy.
Indeed.
Get him in for a block of Lancashire cheddar.
I'd like to see you, you know, going next time you're interviewing Paul Rowley and saying, right, Paul.
Got me cheese on.
I've got you some Lancashire cheese. Go on, just have a bit.
Stick with Red Leicester, me.
Oh, you've gone southern. You're trying to go posh, aren't you? Widnes lad does good.
I don't mind a bit of double Gloucester as well.
I think that sums up our show, that.
Yeah.
Plenty of slices of double Gloucester on this show.
It's a bit like, what's one with it? It looks like it's gone mouldy. What's that one?
The blue one.
Yeah, the blue one.
That was in your fridge, wasn't it?
Still is.
It's been left over since Christmas.
Not Wensleydale, what is it? Stilton.
Stilton, that's it. Yeah, blue Stilton.
That's to do that. That's to have a poll of players and get them to tell us what their favourite cheese is. That'd be interesting.
Have you come up with a new angle?
Yeah. Let's get the players to take on cheese instead.
Rugby league cheese. I'm learning something different.
You imagine the look on the faces. They're coming after the hard-fought game. They're expecting to do an interview after the game. And the first question is going to be, what's your favourite cheese?
Oh, right. You can have any cheese board you want. You can select three. What would you do?
Yeah,
I think we're all cheesed out, aren't we?
We are, aren't we?
I guess our listeners will all be cheesed off by now.
I'm sure they've gone for the grill straight away to have some cheese on toast.
Anyway, we can confirm that the Man of Steel did indeed start in 1977.
It was. And who was it?
It was David Ward from Leeds, the
David
hooker.
Ward.
Other winners in
didn't
the
like
opening
him as a player.
Opening couple of games. Well, I don't know. It's way before my time. I only started in 91. You know, so all these players before, Ellery Hanley is like,
whoa. Dirty David Ward, but he was a good player, good hard player.
Well, he's won the Man of Steel, he must have been a good player.
Yeah, because that was back in the days when it used to be just aimed at the forwards, wasn't it?
George Nicholls, St Helens,
Dougie Lawton,
1979 winner, George Fairburn playing for Wigan, 1980.
Super George.
I'm getting lost in nostalgia again. Quick, pull me back to the modern day era.